Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand.
Final hour of the show for today. Hour three, the late night Gamecock, Matt Anderson in with the clowns, JC and Phil here to wrap up a Thursday show as we head into a big Gamecock weekend. Major series against Arkansas on the baseball diamond at Founders this weekend. The spring game, of course, at Williams-Brice. There is also, if you want to make a big three-day weekend out of it, the Big Spur Golf Tournament. Sign up now. I think it's, $100? Not bad. Yeah. Get on in there. It's for calls, charitable calls. Does not go into anybody's pocket.
It includes the Nana's Porch food.
Indeed, Nana's Porch.
And then if you go, JC will give you the super secret information regarding the Gamecocks football program.
I don't have any super secret information. If I did,
it'd be on the Big Spur.
There's no secrets around it. Anyway, sad news to pass along for the world of rock and roll. Funny, we were talking about the Marshall Tucker Band earlier. Dickie Betts, founding member of the Allman Brothers, famous guitar player, songwriter, wrote Ramblin' Man, sung Ramblin' Man for Allman Brothers, died. So I remember seeing at Freedom Weekend Aloft in Greenville in 1994, the Allman Brothers played. And a friend of mine, Charlie, his dad was a roadie for Marshall Tucker back in the day, and they toured with the Allman Brothers. So we got some backstage passes, man. I was standing right behind Greg Allman. He's playing his Hammond B3 organ. And I'm just sitting there going, like, this man had sex with Cher for a long, long time. and J-Mo and Butch Trucks were the drummer. Butch Trucks has passed away since then. Derek Trucks, his son, was like 12, came out and played with him. Warren Haynes was in the band at the time. That's when they had that song Soul Shine that was out. Nobody Left to Run With Anymore. It was their last album. One of the greatest concerts I've ever been to in my life. And I remember just Dickie Betts, hair flowing in the wind, playing Ramblin' Man. That was a great thing. So sad to see them. I mean, they're all dying off. Greg Allman, of course, died in 2017. And, of course, his brother Dwayne and Barry Oakley, the bass player, the original band, they were both killed back in the 70s. Dwayne was in a motorcycle accident. So Pimple the Blimp asks, anyone transferring? Not that I know of. For football, I'm not going to speculate on anybody right now because the spring game is day after tomorrow. But it wouldn't surprise me to see a handful of guys leave. And there's some names I've been given to look out, keep an eye on. But is it anybody's going to hurt the season as things stand now? No. Are they guys that you look at that you don't ever expect them to play? No, not if one or two. I mean, kind of in between that. And, of course, you always want depth. And so you start to wonder if one guy leaves and then, you know, you get three injuries and then you have to start a walk-on. And then, yeah, it was a big deal. So it's hard to say. But you're going to have some attrition. I think it's this portal period is a little bit more aggravating and testy for coaches than maybe the first one. Because the first one, you're still in the heart of recruiting. You have time to kind of – if something does not go your way, you have time to go find replacements. If not in that portal cycle, the next one. Yeah, now you've already been through spring practice. You've got your depth chart kind of set as far as going to the summer. You know, you got a plan as to who needs to do what. And then you start losing guys. The worst decision as far as just bailing on your teammates that I didn't like through this whole thing has been when Jordan Addison left for Southern Cal. I thought, man, you were a three-star guy that Pitt was your biggest offer. Pat Narduzzi and his staff have done nothing but develop the crap out of you. That was a really good team they had coming back to because that Pitt team – even without Addison, ended up winning 9 games in the Sun Bowl against UCLA and Chip Kelly. What was this supposed to be his best team? That was just wrong. I mean, I think that's wrong. I think that if you go through spring practice with your teammates, especially in that situation where they did you – Pitt, you needed Pitt much more than Pitt needed you. And then to fall victim to Caleb Williams and his dad – and some kind of NIL promise I thought was a pile of crap.
Yeah, I mean, where the scholarships are right now, I think my count last time I did it was 86 on scholarship. Someone has to go before August. So there's going to be at least one transfer. So, I mean, you just figure out, you know, Shane talking about wanting to look at some rooms and see what's out there. There's going to be movement. But, you know, football is a developmental game. So JC's point, you know, somebody that has potential – but not going to play this year, maybe. And those guys are looking out for themselves too and where they can get on the field and start getting reps and play. And, you know, that's their right as players. We wouldn't be upset if South Carolina was 5-under and we took some developmental guys from somebody else, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with guys that leave during this time. I have a problem with starters that walk out on their teammates over promises and dads of other players from that same area meddling, which – that also happened to South Carolina, by the way. We wonder why Marshawn Lloyd was going to stay, and then all of a sudden he didn't.
Yeah.
And curious for him, he's going to be drafted pretty high. And I guess when you're not taking shots in the SEC and you're running against Pac-12 defenses, and it's a lot easier. So you can say he took the easy way out, but, I mean, he's going to get drafted, going to get a big payday. I don't know what kind of pro he's going to be because you can't really just take yourself out if you're bruised if you're a pro, but – you know, that's the kind of thing. So, that's my take on it. You know, I didn't really like the whole – maybe that's why I don't want the Bears to draft Caleb Williams. Maybe I didn't like the way they sort of kind of tried to recruit other schools while he was at Southern Cal. Maybe that's my deal. But I'll say this. I was much – that's not me being a Gamecock. I was much more it turned my stomach much more the Jordan Addison thing than Marshawn. Marshawn left at a normal time, you know. Honest to God, the person running that running back room last year should have had some replacements lined up because he lost guys every single year. It wasn't Marshawn Lloyd's problem that the room was like it was at Carolina. I didn't like the way it was handled because all of a sudden he goes home and I knew what was up, you know. Once Southern Cal kind of came out of nowhere, and he had the smoke screen just like he did with Addison. Oh, he's going to visit here, there, yonder, whatever. And then he had the smoke screen, And then, oh, Southern Cal, like it's some big surprise. These people think we're stupid. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. So as long as it's not something like that, like I don't like that. I just think you go this far down the road, you're through spring practice. By this point, you know what your NIL deal is. To bolt for a better deal right now as a starter and somebody your team's counting on, I think's wrong. And if I'm an NFL scout, I'm taking note, and I'm not going to draft you probably because you don't fit my organization.
Dude, the craziest thing I saw was Jeremy Roach leaving Duke as a pretty much a four-year starter, had his COVID year, and he declared for the draft and the portal and will not be back at Duke. That's a two-time captain who has a year of eligibility available. It's just a different world. And he listed St. John's, Kentucky, and somebody else as options for him. Can you imagine a Duke guy going to Kentucky that was a two-time captain?
He wants to get paid either way. I mean, basketball – to me, basketball is a little bit different just because in that sport, we've kind of gotten accustomed. Like, who's that dude that played for Carolina? Eric Stevenson?
Yeah. What, West Virginia, South Carolina?
Washington.
Where did he come from? He came from Wichita State.
He's from Washington, D.C., Washington State.
Yeah.
Played for Wichita. Went back, played for Washington Huskies. They came back, played for South Carolina, and then played for West Virginia. So you get Pacific Northwest to the Midwest to the Deep South to Appalachia. He got to see the whole country, you know. Probably not a lot of money. Yeah, well, I went off about that earlier, but you can go ahead.
No, I just don't understand how it's going to work. I mean, theoretically, you could play for – South Carolina for the first semester in basketball and then Clemson for the second semester if you wanted to and you were in academic good standing. What does that even mean? Like, unless you're taking abbreviated courses where your grades are in, the way I read the rule on ESPN is that you can go mid-year in college basketball.
That's crazy.
I don't think, man, I'd be surprised if they let that slide. I mean, that's stupid.
It's what I read verbatim, and I was laying in bed last night, and I was like, what?
Did they say you can go mid-year in college basketball? Did they say that? Did they explain it like that?
That's what they explained, yeah. It was under I was reading some NCAA women's basketball news, and they were talking about the rule.
That's freaking insane.
Wow. And unlimited transfers.
That is insane. That people talk about, NIL is going to ruin college sports. It's not NIL in and of itself. It's the transfer portal is going to ruin college sports. No, it's this free-for-all. I mean, look, pro teams have deadlines, have trade deadlines, and they do have in-season trades. That happens in pro sports. But you're not trading anything. And this notion that these athletes – look, I know a lot of student-athletes, and I know a lot of their situations, and – it's heartbreaking in a lot of ways, especially what some of these kids come from financially. It puts a lump in my throat. I understand there's needs. I understand it's really tough to sit there and have no bank account or $20 to your name, no matter what your scholarship was or whatever. And then, you know, your boss, i.e. your coach, is a multimillionaire living it up on the jet ski, you know, or the yacht. I get that. That's tough. I understand all those parameters. And so I think NIL is a very positive thing to put cash back in these guys' pockets. That being said, this whole nature of do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, that's taking it too far because that's not reality, guys. That's an alternate universe. That's not America. That's not our society. That's not our culture. You know, you have responsibilities to others in this culture, you know, and to allow that to happen during a season, it flies against everything sports is about, this country is about, life is about, personal responsibilities about, commitment, you know, no matter what. I mean, that's insane. That because you know you're going to have a team that's not doing too well in the pre-conference and another team that's, like, surprisingly good. Like, if you're South Carolina this year, right, and you're sitting there and, you know, you're 12-1 and Missouri 6-6, and they got a couple of bigs you want, add him at the break, and then you gear up for SEC play, right?
Yeah, this is verbatim from Heather Dinich. The legislation will not limit the number of times an athlete can transfer, and there are still two transfer windows, but they cannot transfer mid-year and play for a second school in the same season. So I misread that. They cannot transfer mid-year and play for a second school.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then that's better. Then my rant's over. Yeah, because I thought about that, and I was like, because they were like, you know, they asked me about that. Like, well, it was like you had people transfer to the same school in the season, and so they're going to sue somebody. And maybe somebody will get sued over this. I think whatever judge allows it to happen has no clue about sports. I mean, it's one thing to have unlimited transfers. That's fine because it gives your old team an opportunity. You know, that's not your team, okay? And the people were freaking out, by the way, about Cam Scott saying, I'm committing for 1 year. What Cam's saying is, I'm going to do my very best to go play my best and be a one and done. That's basically what that means. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to go transfer here, there, or yonder. Okay, that's extreme. But really, your commitment year to year is to your teammates, and that is your team. And next year, that's your team too, but that is a different team. Would you not agree? Those of us that have played sports?
Yeah.
Teams different than 11th grade. I mean, those are different teams, different makeups, different results. All right. So I get it. I don't question anybody's character for leaving year to year. If you want to go be Eric Stevenson and see the country, more power to you. I think that's dumb in some ways if you care about yourself and your development, as Nick Saban pointed out. But it's a free country, and if you want to go punch yourself in the face repeatedly, the Constitution allows you that freedom, and I'm fine with that.
So I heard a podcast the other day with some college athletes that had actually transferred as a grad transfer, and he was talking to some guys that, you know, had options to transfer and stay to their school, and they were just somehow like, we think it'd be really hard to integrate ourselves into a new program every year. You don't know what the coach wants. You don't know the guys on the team. Everyone says, why'd they bring you in? You're trying to take my spot. I'm going to humiliate you. And that's not a culture for winning either, and that's not what team sports should be about, in my opinion.
Yeah, I, in my opinion, too. So I just don't it should not be about, you know. But you know, it allows you to transfer multiple times if you want. And, you know, in basketball, some guys have benefited. I mean, Talon Cooper, and see, Cooper was at his best at the end. So he kind of just moved up the ladder. Morehead State, okay. All right, I can go a little bigger. Minnesota, okay. Well, here I am in Minnesota. I can go home to South Carolina, okay. You know, and – Talon's situation changed at Minnesota, I think. I think their coach got Patino left and went somewhere else. But anyway, I think that's the case. So anyway, but transferring in season to me is fundamentally wrong. You can't do that because there's no trade. You know,
it's not far away where they're going.
School A is not going to get a player to be named later. I mean, you know, for this guy leaving mid-year, you got to be bound to your team in a given year. Just don't play, cancel the damn sport. I mean, cancel the preseason college basketball because that's ridiculous. You know, and then so what about the NCAA tournament? I mean, are you going to if a team goes 5-7 in the preseason, but then goes out and buys three guys that are studs and they go, you know, they get back on the bubble? Are you going to how are you going to judge that team? Because it is a different makeup now. Are you going to reward teams for this? I mean, there's a lot of questions here.
It's crazy, JC. You know, Phil and I talked about this on this show when JV had lost power one day, but you talk about collective bargaining and contracts and all that. Well, guess what? The team that finishes in last place gets first pick in the draft. Is that going to happen? I mean, are high school kids not going to be able to go to the college they want to go to because – hey, you're number one pick. You're going to Vanderbilt. Enjoy your next 4 years. Or enjoy your year until you can transfer.
I mean, think about kids who finish high school semester early and don't have letters of intent signed anywhere. I mean, you could go in and raid the high school ranks for high talented kids, you know, to kind of beef up your own roster before you go into tournament season. From a basketball perspective, that there's got to be some sort of guardrails put in place.
Well, even the NBA and NFL, you have a trade deadline. You have the last time you can add a free agent. All these different guardrails that are there, and there's nothing about being college athletics. There's going to be nothing.
Yeah.
And you're going to see, like I saw some other day say, college basketball coaches and college football coaches used to coach when they were 60, 70. It's going to be 50. It's going to be 45 now. It's going to collect a bag just like the kids, and I'm out, man. Like, I got a good investment guy. We're set.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, too. It's one of those things, yeah, you wouldn't want the headache. I don't think in-season's ever coming. I think, by the way, Haley Van Lith from LSU is committed to Texas Christian, the Horned Frogs.
So, I thought she was going to somewhere in – I thought she was going to Mississippi State. Maybe I thought I read that somewhere. But, wow. Well, I know it's true because I'm getting texts about it because they now say TCU has the prettiest women's program in the country.
Lookers. So, anyway,
that's like when she hit the portal and people were like, eh, Dawn Staley needs to call Haley right now. I'm like, nah. I don't know. I haven't seen enough out of her in the past 2 years to really say that, you know, that's a must add to this stacked roster.
Mm-mm. I'll say this, too. It's strange that the money, NIL-wise, getting back to that subject, the money, that takes care of itself. Like, I was asked to. Because there's a rumor, I guess, that Jerry Jones is funding this Arkansas $5 million. I thought it was Tyson Chicken, but whoever it is. What if they decide one day they're going to give you $50 million? How is everybody supposed to compete? Let them spend – encourage them to spend that all in 1 year, please. Because, look, you know why Cal hasn't won at Kentucky? Because every single one of those guys he recruits, they're going to be multimillionaires in less than 18 months. They know it. They probably have some money fronted to them. They're just stopping through on their way to get their check and be a pro. They're not coachable. You don't think Cal wanted to play better? Cal's been a defensive coach his whole career. Guys just refused to play defense this year, even with some of the transfers they got in. And it's a cultural thing, okay? Now you look at who's actually winning championships. Well, Connecticut. Well, Connecticut works their butts off. Dan Hurley will bench you. Dan Hurley's not recruiting one-and-dones. Dan Hurley lost most of his starters from last year and reloaded, portal or otherwise. You know, who else is winning in college basketball these days? Purdue. Or just a good, solid program that recycles guys year after year after year, and they win. You know, so if a team wants to go and spend that much, good luck to you, sir. Because you spend that much money, you don't win the national championship, everybody's disappointed. I'll remind everyone, one of the best recruiting classes in college basketball history was 0-for-2 in national championship games, the Fab Five. Because you have to have a certain mentality and maturity to you, I think, to win in college athletics.
And even those guys, their maturity level and their drive are 100 times what these kids are now.
I mean, the Fab Five at least got there, you know?
I mean, I know college coaches are talking right now and saying, look, in this window, if you don't want to compete, leave. We don't care. We're going to bring in people to build a roster because you can leave anytime you want to. And college basketball coaches are saying, look, I'm not recruiting over you. I'm not over signing or anything like that, but the best players will play. And if you don't want to fight for it, we don't want you. And it's just the truth, because the kids can't play both sides of the coin because these are adults that are in charge at the end of the day. And I think you're going to see a lot of this, you know, kids are going to get paid, but there's going to be an expectation. And then, you know, the kids are going to have to do their part or they won't get the bags, as the kids say anymore.
I mean, it can work both ways. Yeah. I mean, if you're not living up to expectations, you can. And also, as these state laws and things like that get passed, and eventually NIL is going to be in-house with a lot of programs to a certain extent. The program's going to say, yeah, sorry, we're not wasting money on you anymore. Bye. And then the whiners and complainers that used to whine about oversigning and all this stuff fair to the kids. Tough. You're the ones that wanted this. You're the ones that wanted unlimited. You're the ones that have this pipe dream that players deserve 50% of the revenue of a sport that's 150 years old, that's only valuable because of rabid fans. whose families for generations have followed the same program in school, who infinitely care more about the name on the front of the jersey than the back. So if you really think that those top 500 players in football, 100 players in basketball that can go pro or that have any reason to talk about getting a bag right now, if you really think that's going to not – they if without them, the sport's going to die, you're sadly mistaken. And those idiots have totally owed that they dismiss South Carolina Gamecocks as a brand, or USC Trojans, or Duke, or North Carolina Tar Heels. Those brands are worth 9 times what a top pick in the NBA draft's worth, right?
Yeah.
So, but nobody talks about how well you being a part of our brand makes you money down the road, right?
What was the best thing that happened to G.G. Jackson in South Carolina? Getting benched. Getting benched was the best thing that happened to G.G. Jackson in South Carolina. And look, you know, he paid the price. If you're going to get benched and you're not going to put on for the name for your teammates and put on for the name on the front of your jersey, NBA scouts see that. Why was he the 40th pick in the NBA draft or whatever it was? Because he had that rep coming out. And now he's matured and he's grown and he's more mature than a lot of other 19-year-olds I know across the country because of that experience. And that's what sports is. Sports is mentorship.
Especially college. I mean, that's what college is designed to prepare you for life. You know, and look, I'm pro paying players. I'm pro giving them more. I'm pro, I think, you know, for colleges in general, they reward tons of different types of people financially that can bring value to their institution. Everybody from professors to coaches, to graduate students, to star students with scholarship money over way over and beyond what the cost it is to attend the school, stipends, work studies. I mean, colleges in general do go out of their way to financially reward individuals that contribute to the well-being of the school, i.e. bring in money, right? And I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is this notion that it is 100% all about the players in college sports, and that there wouldn't be a college sports without these, you know, 4- and 5-star guys that get pampered too much anyway. When the reality is, if you care about winning and you care about your team, to hell with them. I mean, you know, if they want to go pro, go pro. It's a free country. Oh, wait a minute, you can't go pro because of the rules. Well, sue the NFL. Don't. That's nothing to do with college football, you know. I think that there has to be some sort of common sense that's used that says, okay, everything in this ecosystem is valuable. It has value. Here's what it really is. This is how valuable these players are. This is how valuable these coaches are. And I'm one that thinks coaches' salaries are out of control. I agree with you there. Somewhat. Here's how valuable our brand and our institution is. You know, what are people putting money into when they put money into the Gamecocks? They put money into the Gamecocks. You know, there's no like, there was no thousands of Gamecock fans that signed up to be Carolina fans and only came when Clowney was playing. You know, Clowney may have brought some eyeballs, but they've stayed. They're still here. Believe me, they think those are the expectations, or those are what Carolina should do every year. I mean, you know, you look at Ohio State and the other Texas. You think the Texas Longhorns, if they lost like 20 guys off their roster tomorrow, they could have a shot at going and playing in some minor league somewhere? Then they just take 20 from somewhere else and took them horns. They have 90,000 people in there. I mean, maybe a few people. Maybe if you would give up their season tickets, well, then there's somebody to take their place. I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding with the idiots that have pushed all this on the sport to an extreme level, extreme. I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding and an ignorance of what exactly makes college sports the valuable behemoth that it is. And I say all that, again, not being anti-paid player. I know we got to get to a break, Phil. How many more do we have? We're going to double up here.
Yeah, we just double up here, and then we'll just talk it out.
Take it home? Yeah, I got to ask Matt a couple more questions about football visitors this weekend and some other stuff, get his take on that. So we'll break. We'll double briquet. And then we'll be back. Charles, we did. We came on with breaking news. Whittle reported that about Lamont. Eric says, do I have any context with Pringle potato chips? You get canned Pringle and this guy deal, right?
You get right. I mean, now you got two Pringles on two rosters. I mean, let's go. We're sleeping here.
Both from the Low Country, too. All right, we'll be back after these messages.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up a screen and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Brewer. His second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns to Cody. Touchdown number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina. And we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cole Joe here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight out the bucket. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning, it'll melt in your mouth, it's good on a cracker, it's good in a bowl, it's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well. And they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
What's up to the best fans in the country? This is Eli Jones, and you're tuned in to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Go Cubs.
Welcome back, everybody. Old Eli Jones slotted to be the starter at what looks to be on Saturday. We will discuss that and the changes to the starting rotation with JB, of course, when he is back tomorrow. But not only JB, Stuart Lake will be in for his weekly appearance. We'll get to pick old Coach Lake's brain about what he thinks is going on with the starting rotation and why, after, my goodness, it's been 7 or 8 series in a row now that the rotation has at least been locked with Eli being the Friday night guy. So be interesting to get Coach Lake's thoughts and opinions on what's going on there. But we want to ask Matt about, hey, Matt, are you going to be in Columbia at all this weekend to partake in any of the big Gamecock weekend stuff?
I am hoping to. If I come down, it'll probably be Saturday for the baseball game and the spring game. Probably just make it a quick day trip, but would love to get there.
I'm going to be tailgating with Jan, the beer tree, on Saturday.
I know exactly where you'll be, JC. I know where you'll be.
I'll be there. So I'll be there and all that. Got to get a chance to hang out at the Cox by 18 bar, Staniel's bar, in Five Points tomorrow night for a, I guess there's a, the Bourbon Bash, and there's some alums going to be there, Lenore Sellers, and a Garnet Trust event tomorrow night. And then I'm going to probably try to make my way over the baseball game after it starts tomorrow night, and then Saturday do the double dip and all that. Guys, I want to point out, no matter how bad you think you have it around here, and this has to do with the school that's incoming this weekend in baseball and that just hired John Calipari in basketball. Arkansas football, Sam Pittman's never struck me as a guy that's you don't want to play for. Seems like he's a great recruiter. And, man, they hemorrhage players out of the portal every single year. There's a reason I'm bringing this up. 26 people have left Arkansas, and most of them have gone – a lot of them have gone to bigger schools, when you look at it, including Rocket Sanders, KJ Jefferson, all those cats. Well, today, the biggest salt in the wound, the 27th guy, jumps in. Their punter hit the portal. He averaged 47 yards a punt last year. It was all SEC, Max Fletcher. Here was his quote from October, right? Again, and Trey Biddy, who I feel bad for, has to report all this. Punted all SEC, all that good stuff. They got a junior in from Northern Colorado last year who I guess is going to – I doubt he won the job over this guy, but the punter says this in October. I'm going to say this forever, but Coach Pittman has changed my life. Just having that confidence is big for me. Being confident on the field, knowing Coach Pittman is in my corner and wanting me to do good. I think Coach Pittman has really changed my life. That's why I'm here. Coach Pittman, and the same for Coach Fountain. I want to put my team in best position to win the game, and I want to keep on doing that. And
he didn't say I want to keep on doing that at Arkansas.
I was just thinking the same thing. He was like, yeah, but he didn't say he was going to do it in Fayetteville.
This dude's an Aussie. He's from Australia. Yeah, hey, Coach, I should have read it in Australia. That Coach Pittman, he changed me life. Just having that confidence, you think he's big for me. Being confident on the field and knowing that Coach Pittman is in my corner and wanting me to do good. I don't know. I'm screwed my accent up. Oh, that Coach Pittman has really changed my life. Well, I'm here, blokey, blarney, kangaroos. So the kangaroo is, I don't know where he's going to go. Watch him land at Dion. With Prime. They keep losing guys, too. I mean, like, significant players. Like Dion's kids put up, DM me if you want to come to Colorado.
DM me if you want a chance to come play for – yeah.
I mean, what are they doing? Just like, hey, Dad, here's one. Here's 10 more.
Yeah.
that hot streak he went on, the new has worn off of Colorado, I believe. And I don't know if 4-8 is not going to be, the goal you should set.
The high water mark.
Heading into the new season, right? I mean, come on.
Bruin says Mitch Jeter left. I know he did. But he did it at the end of the year. Like everybody.
Yeah.
He wanted to get Notre Dame. Who cares?
What did they bring in another Aussie with a bigger leg?
Arkansas lost 9-1 last week. They usually do a pretty good job or have under Pittman of kind of replacing guys. They get good guys from the portal too. I'm looking at it this year. I don't know that you can say that. I hate it. So I looked up their football schedule because I'm a masochist. And I just wanted to kind of see, because I felt like whoever scheduled them 2 years ago was a blithering idiot. You're not going to schedule a road game at BYU, home game with Cincinnati, or home game with Liberty. By the way, Sam Pittman's lost at home to both BYU and Liberty during his tenure there. So they open on Thursday night, Arkansas Pine Bluff. They go to Oklahoma State. They host UAB. That's 2-1. They go at Auburn. They play A&M in Dallas. They play Tennessee at home. They play LSU at home. They play at Mississippi State. They play Ole Miss at home. They play Texas at home. They play Louisiana Tech at home. And then they play at Missouri. I don't know, man. That's a That's Bobby Petrino is on that staff too as the OC, and everybody's talking about him, how him he's going to come back and be the head coach.
Mike says it's after week five. That's what we talked about this a little bit yesterday. It was like, you know, the two hottest seats. If there were two hot seats in the SEC, Mike says Florida and Arkansas are the two hot seats in the SEC.
Week five is after A&M in Dallas. So that because they'll beat Pine Bluff, and they should beat UAB. UAB took a serious downgrade in coaching, I think, when Dilfer took over. I don't think the Oklahoma State's probably licking their chops to get to beat them. I mean, that's kind of one of those games that should be played more that's not because they're so close together. And then they go to Auburn. Auburn will be better this year. Probably will beat them. Auburn's kind of got their number, too. Auburn beat the snot out of them last year. The week after Arkansas went to Florida and won, Auburn went out there and just laid the wood to the Piggies. And then they play so then Waterloo is going to be A&M. And they cut. Well, it could be Mike may be a week off because they play Tennessee the next week, which is probably a loss. And then they have an open date before they play LSU.
Oh, so maybe it is.
So maybe it is week six.
Yeah, make the
move. Maybe move week six, because if you're looking at, you know, a three-game losing streak at 2-5 and a 0-3 start in the league, that's not promising, especially with Texas. So, well, at least they don't have to play Alabama anymore this year. Well, the Gamecocks got the Crimson Tide, so that's the thing there. Too. So, yeah, seven players. Big watch this. Deion's got a lot of haters. I was for Deion. I thought he was doing a good job. Had a good staff assembled. What lost me with him is when he fired his OC for no reason because his son wasn't playing well because he didn't recruit an offensive line.
Midseason. That's
not a football coach, man. That's a helicopter parent. And then the constant Shadur and Shiloh hype to me is a little bit. I mean, I'm like, that's not a coach. That's a helicopter parent. And if you're a head football coach and you have 85 players and you only care about three of them, like, i.e., who are my kids and who's going to make them look good? Again, that's not a head football coach. That's a helicopter parent. That's the type of guy back in middle school or back in little league that puts their kids on the all-star team and, you know, it's all about them. And I don't think guys like that have any place in college football. I wish Deion was great, because I think former players going back and being great coaches are great. Great. But this whole notion that he's some transformative figure, guess what? He's not. He's just like Rick, who owns the car lot in town that sponsors the little league team and is the coach, and his kid always bats cleanup. And it is a catastrophe that the media has fallen for this and ranks Shadur Sanders as a top five NFL prospect.
Well, I see where you're going with this, JC. It's going to be Sam Pittman, offensive line coach at Colorado. For Deion.
He'll save the day.
Analyst on South Carolina staff. That way they've got now four offensive line coaches on staff.
And how many tight end coaches now, too? Because it's Teasley's coach tight ends, Elliott's coach tight ends, Atkins is analyst coach tight ends, Beamer's coach tight ends, Dowell Loggins coach tight ends.
The array of diversity in what these guys have done on staff professionally is just astounding. So, yeah, if the offensive line isn't good this year and the tight ends don't produce like they should, I'm going to be shocked.
Especially
with talent. It's not just, you know, some of that's tongue-in-cheek, but with the talent that South Carolina has now and has been able to develop some of these younger guys, I'll eat my hat if there isn't improved line play as we move through the season.
That's why we see Phil never wearing a hat on the show.
Yeah. Well, big watch. I'm not talking about what he says in the media. I'm talking about, like, who does he care about? Actions speak louder than words, man. You'd have never fired your offensive coordinator last year if you cared about more than your son. You know, you wouldn't. I actually know a couple of people personally that were on that staff, and it wasn't the guy they fired. And I just, you wait and see. You wait and see. You wait and see what happens when his kids get out. And I'll eat my words if he's great. And I hope, I wish he was. I think it's good for the sport. I think all the attention Colorado got last year was good for the sport, good for the program, good for players that want to get into coaching. You know, college coaching is kind of a good old boys club. He shook that up. I like that. But his motivations, when you kind of watch his actions, are very clear. Very clear. And so that's my thing. And, hey, if I'm wrong, if Shadur and Shiloh leave and he stays with Colorado or even goes to another college job, you know, bigger job maybe, stays in the game and really wants to do it, I'll eat my words. But my strong suspicion is once the kids are out, Deion's going back to TV or the golf course. And that's unfortunate, I think, for a lot of former players that don't have the name recognition he does that want to get into coaching, because it kind of gives one of these guys that used to be millionaires, you know, they're million, they made millions playing ball. Why they want to? Why should we take a gamble on this? You know, so that's my thing. But and like I said, I've never bought into the let's hate all over Deion because he's prime and he can't make it work. Because, like I said, I thought he hired a great staff. I thought he had a good plan on offense. I thought it was going to be very hard to rebuild that much of the roster. I probably wouldn't keep that many guys off. But, hey, you want to try it, try it. It's legal. You know, I thought Colorado's fans were deserving of something that's a once-proud program. I was not a hater. Mike Morgan was skeptical from the start. He was never a hater, but he was always kind of skeptical. I kind of drank the Kool-Aid, especially during those first four games, and especially when he hired Sean Lewis as his OC. And then he demotes him and promotes Pat Shurmur mid-year, an NFL guy. They weren't much better. They went backward. Next thing you know, Sean Lewis is the head coach at San Diego State, which is a hell of a Mountain West job. And so you see where his value is. And then it's Shadur, this, that, and the other. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But this is not inside the Buffaloes. This is inside the Cubs. Cam Scott, back to the Carolina basketball, Matt. Give us your kind of scouting report on him. You know, what's he bring to the table? For those that may have not seen him play, I think I did read today, 43 points in a game this year. So he's obviously a scorer, one of the best players, the best player in the state. But your thoughts about him and kind of what his role will be in college starting next year.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Cam Scott's a kid that played varsity as an eighth grader. Kind of tells you about his maturity level as a young kid. And he's continued to grow in that. Cam's 6'5", probably 170 pounds. He's going to have to bulk up, get a little bit more strength to play 25 minutes a game at the SEC level. He has a jump shot that you can't teach. He's a proven shot maker. He's very athletic. His build's going to remind you of PJ Dozier a couple years back. That's his build. I think he's a hair more athletic than PJ Dozier. He can make the acrobatic layups. He can make the dunks. He can make dunks look really, really easy. He had 100 steals in his senior year. So he's an active defender. I wouldn't say that on ball is his necessarily the strength of his defense. It's reading passing lanes. It's kind of plucking the ball when someone keeps it loose because he's so long and getting out in transition. But he's not a ball stopper. You know, comparing him to Michi, and someone asked me this on the Big Spur yesterday, I think he's probably going to be a little bit more consistent game to game. And when I say consistent, I mean somebody in the 10, 12, 15 points per game, kind of like a really small bell curve there, where Michi had some games where he was, you know, 6 points and seven assists, or 2 points, and then had some games where he was 30. I think the ball is going to move with him. He's not a ball stopper. I mean, he can hit the 25-footer, the 26-footer, but he doesn't have to. And I think he's a player that's going to play well on both the offensive and defensive side. I think he can kind of be where Zachary Davis was at the top of that 1-3-1 defense, or even plug in, allow Zach to plug into the middle there and have Colin, you know, more taking the basket away at the rim if they're able to break the pressure. He's going to be a really good player for the Gamecocks. He's clearly, you know, a top 40, top 30 guy for me. He doesn't really have the point guard skills that you're looking for. He's way more of a combo guard, shooting guard. So I think that probably knocks him down the rankings a little bit. But he has the potential to be a one-and-done at South Carolina for sure. I think you're going to see a handful of 20-point games out of him. And if you're making me pencil in a starting lineup right now for the Gamecocks, I think Cam Scott starts straight out the cuff.
Wow, that's interesting. Right out of the gate.
I think so. I mean, you know, he has talent that others don't have on the roster. At his size and his athletic ability, he just has it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is like his the attributes he brings in with him are probably what, you know, get you to make that call, right?
Yeah, he's actually interesting. He kind of runs on his tiptoes too, so that he kind of glides when he runs. It's pretty interesting, but he's athletic as all get out. I'll tell you that right now. He anticipates passes, and he's going to have his fair share of fast breaks at South Carolina, where he's going to do some cool things in the air.
Nice. Jump man.
Big get. I mean, for Lamont Paris to be able to get G.G. Jackson enrolled early, kind of a late summer type thing, and then at this point in the recruiting cycle, when you have a verified need on your roster, to get a Cam Scott right now is just a blessing.
Yeah, I think so too. And then you look Trent Noah, the other kid they have coming in, they have three, with Scott, Trent Noah, and Fidoko, had a great senior year up at Kentucky. I think it took to the point where I almost wonder, and I don't think this is going to happen. I've heard nothing about this. This is not scoop. This is, you know, daydreaming speculation on my part. I wonder if Mark Pope has that many spots to fill, if he doesn't go back and kind of go, who is this kid from whatever county? Now, Mark Pope did play at Kentucky, but he's from Bellevue, Washington in the Seattle area and was a transfer from UW. So whereas he's very familiar with Big Blue Nation, he may not be as familiar with all the nooks and crannies in that state and the places the talent come out of and all that good stuff. So
if that kind of thing happens, the kid just wants to play at Kentucky and that's been his dream, because
why not
have the opportunity to build the relationship that he has with Lamont Paris and the staff at South Carolina in this short amount of time. That would just be, I want to play at Rupp. I want to play at Kentucky, and I don't care who the coach is at this point. But even at Kentucky next year, and I said this on the message board yesterday, I think that Trent Noah has the opportunity to come in and hit some shots for the Gamecocks. He's a verified bucket getter, can shoot, can pull up, all of that. He moves off the ball really well in what I've seen from him. I haven't seen him defensively. He probably still needs to get a little stronger, but the big thing for him is just keep his conditioning level up, because he's going to have to be on the move as a freshman in the SEC. He might have some big games against the non-con portion of the schedule, but for him to, you know, really break in and be a rotation guy, he's going to have his conditioning level high. He's going to have to be making his shots, and we're going to see what he does defensively. I mean, when you shoot 52% from the field as a senior, there's not many opportunities to see misses on the highlight reels. But I'd like to see his defense as well, because you can scheme your defense around a guy like that and still get the offense out of him. But mm-hmm. he's the kind of guy, I think, sophomore, junior year, he's a starter in the SEC. Nice.
Hopefully he's better than Travis Kraft or Bryce Shelton.
When you think about those two guys, there wasn't very much they could do to get their shot off dribbling.
Yeah.
Had to be spot up. And look, Trent Noah has 2-3 dribble moves where he can get his shot off and step back, and he's powerful in it. It's a compact shot. It's a repeatable process, and the ball just goes through the net. So that's why I say he's going to have to get in good conditioning shape if he's not already in great conditioning right now, because he's going to have to be able to get open and hit that shot when it comes to him, and maybe make a move or two while the guy's chasing him to get him off balance. If I was him, I'd be watching film of J.J. Redick and Ray Allen nonstop and perfecting that craft.
That's good stuff. I think these last two scouting reports are going to the video vault on Big Sur. That's good stuff, Matt. All right, bro. Well, hey, thank you to everybody. Thank you to our sponsors, Bardo Co., Charleston Fitness Equipment, Electrovice of Charleston, Gamecock Traditions. I screwed this up, and I'm sorry. We are in the Cinerama studios. I didn't mention Cinerama the whole day.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Matt. Yeah,
Matt, very sorry, Matt. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm second team now. But no, we appreciate all of our sponsors and all of you in the chat box. Really good to talk, get into the nitty gritty and let you guys drive the topics today. I think that's kind of fun, at least one day every now and then. We'll be back tomorrow with a little more structure. JB will be back. Don't forget the Big Spring Golf Tournament on Monday. Stuart Lake will be in for his normal Friday segment. Anybody else hopping on with us tomorrow, Phil, or is it just me, you, and Stu, and JB?
Right now, I think it's just me, you, and JB, and Stu. Next week, though, we've got a pretty loaded football week lined up. So coming out of the spring game, we're going to have all of our normal football faces, a couple of new ones. Brad Crawford will be in on Tuesday, and of course we'll have Daniel Kelly with first round mock on draft day, a few hours before the draft starts. See how he has adjusted his draft value sheet and what he kind of expects heading into the evening.
Cool. Well, I'm fired up. All right, you guys. I hope everyone, and I will not be on the show Tuesday, by the way, of next week, because that's when I'm flying back to Chi-Town. But I'll be on every other day. Greg says no poop talk tomorrow. Probably not, but I can't make a no poop guarantee.
That's right, but we'll make no promises.
All right, well, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. We'll be back. I think I'll be back here at Garden Trust doing it again tomorrow. And then hope to see maybe some of you this weekend if you're in town around. You can't miss me these days, so say hi. Anyway, for JC, for Matt Anderson and Phil Mullinex, this is JC Sherbert signing off on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Have a wonderful Thursday, everyone, and we'll holla soon.